Welcome to the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. Today is Monday, March the 9th, 2020. My brother's birthday. Shout out to Brian Jensen. Happy birthday, bro. And of course, this being Monday, not a part of the weekends. The reason this is coming a little bit late to you all is because I was in Las Vegas, Nevada for UFC 248. And it was just something I just couldn't work into the weekend. And the time that I was planning on doing this on Sunday, I had some changes to my flight, so it's something I couldn't do anything about. So I'm giving you this on Monday. I'm going to preface this by saying, because I've been so busy this week, I have not had a chance to watch any of these shows I'm about to be giving you the results for. Now, you should still listen, and the reason being is because we're going to go through results, and we'll do that fairly quickly. But on top of the results that we know about already, I have a lot of spoilers for you all this week. We have a ton of spoilers for NXT UK and Impact Wrestling. So what we're going to do on this week's episode is, of course, I'm going to give you my recommended show on IWTV, which I did have a chance to watch because it happened back on March 1st. We'll give you some quick results for what's been going on this past week on TV, and then we're going to get into the spoilers. So let's get started by talking about my recommended show this week on IWTV, which is Glory Pro's 3-year anniversary show. So the company is called Glory Pro Wrestling, and the show is just called 3-Year Anniversary. And I chose this, for one, because I was able to watch it before my trip, and for two, because I'm a very big fan of this company, and I wanted to give them some kudos for making it 3 years now, which is a very big deal, especially considering the adversity that the company went through a couple years back. And I'll actually peel back the curtain for you all a little bit, so I've mentioned these kind of things in past episodes, but for those of you who may be new listeners to the show, welcome. And for those of you who may have heard this already, it'll be a little refresher. And of course, I don't expect everybody to be able to listen to every single episode, so you might have missed some of this stuff. Glory Pro was founded by Michael Elgin, and it was a company that had a lot of momentum very quickly. Some really, really great shows. Shows that were so great, in fact, that I started making consistent trips. I would drive from Nashville, Tennessee to the St. Louis, Missouri / Alton, I'm not sure how you pronounce it, Illinois. It's right there on like the border of Missouri and Illinois. And they were running these shows, and I probably went probably 4 or 5 shows in a row. And that's a pretty long drive there and back, you know, to do day trips for wrestling shows. And I was doing it for quite a while, because I really, really enjoy the product. And I always have, and that hasn't changed. As far as the actual product is concerned, Glory Pro has been consistently a great independent promotion. One of my favorite shows I've ever gone to live of any level, whether it was, you know, WWE or Impact or even like WCW back in the day and all that stuff. One of my favorite shows that I've ever been to was a Glory Pro show that was headlined by Michael Elgin versus Cody Rhodes, as well as Mara Fuji versus Dominic Dijak, or Donovan Dijak, now known as Dominic Dijakovic on NXT. So I kind of considered it like a co-main event type scenario. The big draws were those two matches, and it was one of the best independent shows I'd ever seen, and one of the best overall wrestling shows, like I said, that I've ever seen in my life. And I discovered so much talent on that show, and then also wound up seeing some people that I didn't even know performed in that area that I was aware of from kind of the Southeast scene of the independents. So, incredible promotion, and like I said, it was founded by Michael Elgin, who was actually courteous enough to come on my personal podcast and talk about the promotion really early on, which I very much appreciated. Then there was a bit of controversy where Michael Elgin was basically accused of some stuff by a female fan of the company, and it was a long process for him, and there was a lot that he had to go through and a lot of adversity he had to deal with. And during that time, Michael Elgin stepped away as the head of Glory Pro. You know, he founded the company and basically gave the company away to two of his former students, as well as a third partner, I believe. But the two students being current wrestlers, Danny Adams, also known as Dan the Dad, and Kevin Lee Davidson, also known as KLD. And the two of those guys were also courteous enough to come on my personal podcast multiple times. I've talked to those guys for years now, and they're great dudes. And when this all happened, they actually broke the news. I had KLD on my show, and he was the one who actually broke the news to the world for me. He gave me that interview to talk about the fact that Michael Elgin would no longer be a part of Glory Pro, whether it was going to be as a booker, as, you know, the head of the company, or even as a talent in the ring. He said he was no longer going to be a part of it, and he did confirm that himself and Danny Adams were two of the guys taking over the company. And there was a lot of uncertainty about that, because these two guys, I mean, they're guys in like their early to mid 20s, I believe. I know Danny Adams is, and I believe KLD is as well. I mean, I know both guys are definitely younger than me and took on a big responsibility of carrying this company. And it isn't just them, it's the talent involved as well. I mean, they have such great wrestlers that have been working with that company, a lot of which that I'll mention as a part of this 3-year anniversary show when I get back to, you know, the recommended show this week. But just speaking on Glory Pro, it's something where Danny Adams and KLD deserve so much credit for what they've accomplished in getting to 3 years now, because the company may have only been around for a year or so when all of this happened and the management change needed to happen. And for those of you who may not be aware and may not have followed the story, eventually it came out that Michael Elgin, while, you know, kind of morally debatable about some of the things that he may have said, and may have even done, I don't know, he was ultimately kind of acquitted of all of it, if you will. I mean, he went off to Japan and wrestled there and just kind of got out of the United States and just did his own thing for a while as things blew over with this kind of controversy. And, yeah, you know, it was something where, to be honest, I mean, Elgin, I remember the time vaguely. He was getting pulled off of independent shows that he was booked on because people, he essentially was lumped into the Me Too movement, if I'm being honest. That's essentially what happened. The Me Too movement was going on. It was in full force. And, you know, Michael Elgin was thrown into that along with many others. Someone else who was thrown into that was one of his trainees who was also a wrestler on the show, Sean Orleans, who was known as Dad Bod at the time. And I know that whole situation stifled his career as well. And so it's one of these things where they had to go through so much, and the company had to go through such a stigma, and Elgin had to go through such, you know, just his entire reputation was completely destroyed. And now, as we see, you know, years later, he's back on back on the mainstream wrestling. You see Michael Elgin, he's wrestling for Impact consistently, and he's used as one of their top performers. So obviously, you know, if I don't know the best way of saying this, but I don't think Impact Wrestling would be putting Michael Elgin in the position that he's in the company had he done something terribly, terribly, terribly wrong, or even close to as wrong as kind of the punishment he had to serve for whatever did or didn't happen. Those things I won't know, and those things I won't get into, and you can do your research. So I'm sure the information's out there if you want to know kind of what controversy within that Me Too movement, you know, involved Michael Elgin and that female fan that I mentioned. But that's all to say that now, 3 years later, Glory Pro is doing as well as ever, and they have just great talent, they're a great promotion, great people, and I really can't say enough good things about them. So shout out to Glory Pro Wrestling and everybody involved, because as long, you know, you have a lifelong fan in me. As long as the promotion is putting on shows, I will watch every single show that they put out. I really want to support the talent, and I hope that you support the talent as well by checking out this show, the 3-year anniversary. If you want to watch this, these are the matches to expect. We had Blair Onyx versus Kylie Rae, Alley Cat and Dan the Dad teaming up against Danhausen and Aliyah Black. We had Jake Landers versus Ethan Price. The United Glory Championship was on the line between Halal Beefcake, the Regal Twins, Alpha Omega, and the Four Star Heroes. We had Senshin versus Hyun in a no DQ match. This is nuts. We had Kevin Lee Davidson versus Nick fucking Gage. So, barn burner of a match right there. If, I mean, check out this entire show, but if you only watch, you know, if you got like limited time, this is definitely a match to check out. We also had Shug D versus Paco versus Mike Outlaw. We had a multiple man match with Manders, Baracus, Clayton Gaines, and Jake Something. The best is in the world, the team of Dave Vega and Matt Fitchett, took on the Gymnasty Boys, the team of White Mike, of course, and Tommy Lou Retton. We had the Midwest Territory Championship match between Hakeem Zayn and Cody Lane. In the main event for the Crown of Glory Championship, which is essentially the World Heavyweight title for Glory Pro, we had AJ Gray taking on Chris Dickinson, which is just, just knowing those two are in a match together, you know going into it is going to be a hard-hitting war. Violence and athleticism and storytelling. Those two guys are great at all those things. Two just fantastic talents, and so much fantastic talent on this show. Many, many talents of which I have talked about at length on many podcasts here on the Fightful Select Weekender. So, you know, check those out if you haven't already, if you're new to the show. But as far as this show itself, check it out and check out the company. Support not only Glory Pro, support all of independent professional wrestling. And I highly recommend checking out independentwrestling.tv because that's the best place, in my opinion, to watch independent wrestling. They've congregated just thousands and thousands and thousands of matches and hours worth of independent wrestling, whether it's new or old. They have live shows on there. I'm not endorsed, sponsored by them. I just really think that it's worth your $10. If you're a fan of independent wrestling, if you want to learn about new up-and-coming wrestlers, or you want to, you know, continue to be a fan of performers that you maybe haven't seen in a while, that maybe aren't wrestling for a major promotion anymore but still wrestle on the independent scene, there's a lot of them there as well. So I think it's a little bit of everything for everybody out there on IWTV, and I highly recommend checking it out. Once again, my recommended show this week was Glory Pro Wrestling 3-year anniversary. And let's move on. We have results for Ring of Honor episode 441. And like I said, I did not watch this show. I did not watch the next few shows, but I'm going to give you the results for these shows in case you missed them as well. At least this keeps us all in the loop. And I do apologize for that. I really do my best to try to watch as much as I possibly can every week. But like I said, I mean, between my actual work that I do through MMA on Point on a weekly basis, which is a lot of work, a lot of video editing especially, on top of that, being in Las Vegas for the fights for 5 days, there was a lot going on out there. So, like I said, I'm coming into this a little bit cold as far as knowing what was happening on these shows, but let's find out. So we had Alex Zane defeating Andrew Everett. It says here, Zane hit a package pump handle slam on Everett to get the pin for the 1-2-3. And after that, we had a tag team match between the Briscoes and Bandido and Flamita. Looks like the Briscoes got the win here. And the finish happens where Mark and Jay hit the Doomsday Device on Flamita. Jay gets the pin on Flamita for the 3 count. So looks here like we had another kind of your standard 2-match Ring of Honor show. I will say I'm very much looking forward to that past versus present show that's coming up soon. So we'll talk heavily about Ring of Honor the closer we get to that show, and I'll definitely cover in detail the past versus present show once it rolls around, because I am very much looking forward to that. As far as 205 Live is concerned, Isaiah Swerve Scott, who I actually discovered, well, I discovered him on Lucha Underground as Killshot, but he's somebody who was wrestling as Swerve at Glory Pro for a while before getting signed to the WWE. So, you know, everything kind of comes full circle there. Looks like Swerve defeated Arya Daivari. Tony Nese and Mike Kanellis defeated Danny Burch and Oney Lorcan in a tag team match. That's very interesting. That's a big win for Nese and Kanellis as a tag team. I'm very interested to see what happens there. And it looks here, so this is right off WWE.com. It says, following Gentleman Jack Gallagher's shocking attack on Leo Rush last week on 205 Live, the man of the hour has not been medically cleared for competition. As a result, the NXT Cruiserweights have selected a new member of their team, and Isaiah Swerve Scott revealed that the team collectively decided it didn't need a captain. Next week, a mystery partner will join Scott, Tyler Breeze, Danny Burch, and Ernie Lorcan against Tony Nese and his handpicked team of Mike Kanellis, The Brian Kendrick, Arya Daivari, and Gentleman Jack Gallagher. Both teams will collide in a 10-man elimination tag team match in the ultimate struggle between NXT Cruiserweights and 205 Live Originals. Wow, I like that. Very, very cool. That'll be a great match, and I like the concept. Kind of NXT versus OGs. All good stuff, and we will talk in detail about that tag team 10-man elimination match. We'll talk about that when it rolls around. I'm very much looking forward to that. We have results for NWA Power. This show happened on March the 3rd. Started off with Ziggy Dice defeating Ricky Starks to become the new NWA TV champion. And these, of course, you know, we know the spoilers for these shows, because if you listen on a weekly basis here at the Weekender, weeks ago, I read out all the spoilers. So we know what's coming for these shows, but as far as keeping up to what's happening in real time, here we go with Ziggy Dice winning the title from Ricky Starks. The finish comes when Starks tries to hit the stroke and Dice counters with a roll-up for the three count. We had a last chance match, which was a tornado tag team match between the Dawsons and Caleb Conley and C.W. Anderson. Very wild to see C.W. Anderson still wrestling, but if he's going to wrestle anywhere, as far as anywhere that has any kind of a global reach, which, you know, technically, I mean, YouTube does obviously have global reach, but and it's hard to call anybody mainstream, but like it kind of is and it kind of isn't, but it's still kind of indie and it kind of isn't, you know what I'm saying? Like, but that all to say, C.W. Anderson is still a part of a big promotion in 2020. And if he's going to be the NWA, I think is the right company for him. Caleb Conley and C.W. Anderson get the win, and that is after Anderson hits a spine buster, and then Conley hits a double stomp on Dave for the three count, or double stomp moonsault, sorry, onto Dave for the three count. In the main event, we had Eli Drake and James Storm with Eddie Kingston in their corner, defeating the team of the Bouncers, which is Beer City Bruiser and Brian Melanis. They had the Pope in their corner, so they retain the tag team titles. The finish comes when Storm hits Bruiser with a super kick, and then Drake hits the downed Bruiser with an elbow drop for the 1-2-3. So that's that for NWA Power. Moving on to NXT UK, we had Alexander Wolfe defeating Travis Banks. We had Ridge Holland versus defeating Saxton Huxley. Why I had such a hard time saying that, I do not know. We had Valkyrie defeating Isla Dawn. And in the main event, Walter defeated Dave Mastiff in an NXT UK Championship title match to retain his championship. And that is a match I have not seen yet, because like I said before, with, you know, not being able to watch this week, but that is a match I'm going to go back and watch, because I'm sure it was a hoss fight, if you want to call it that. Walter does a little bit of everything. I mean, he's just incredible. And Dave Mastiff has looked great, in my opinion. I think he presents something very different. I'm a fan of his, so looks like some good matches. And staying on the topic of NXT UK, spoiler alert, spoiler alert, spoiler alert. We are going to be doing a lot of spoilers for NXT UK starting right now. So if you don't want to hear these and you don't want to hear spoilers for Impact Wrestling, now is the time to turn off this show. And I appreciate all of y'all for listening who have to do that. And if not, here they come. So a lot of spoilers coming up right now. We had a dark match with Zaya Brookside defeating Nina Samuels. Then when the main show starts, presumably, Finn Balor calls out Walter. Imperium tries to attack Balor, but he escapes. And that is super interesting. I would love to see an NXT UK title match between Finn Balor and Walter. That's honestly one of the best matches I didn't realize I needed to see. And I am all about that. Pretty Deadly, the team of Sam Stoker and Lewis Howley, defeat the 0-1-2-1, which is Dan Maloney and Man Like DeRice. Noam Dar defeats Ligero. Danny Luna versus Amelie ends in a double DQ after Kaylee Ray attacks. I should mention, by the way, these spoilers, of course, are coming to you by Fightful.com. That's where I'm reading them, but they are courtesy of D. Owen. So shout out to D. Owen for providing these to Fightful. We had Elijah Dragunov defeating A-Kid. Ashton Samuels and Oliver Carter defeated Tyson T-Bone and Saxon Huxley. Ridge Holland defeats Joseph Connors. Cassius Ono defeats Kenny Williams. Kaylee Ray defeats Danny Luna. Kaylee Ray attacks Luna after the match, but Piper Nevin makes the save. Gallus, the team of Joe and Mark Coffey, and Wolfgang team up in a six-man tag to defeat Dave Mastiff, Flash Morgan Webster, and Trent Seven. I bet that was a great six-man tag. Finn Balor defeats Alexander Wolfe. Balor asks who's next. Tyler Bate comes out and they brawl. That is ultra interesting as well. I would love to see Balor versus Tyler Bate. I want to see Balor versus Bate. I want to see Balor versus Walter. Those are two incredible matches. Good on NXT UK for putting that together. We have even more spoilers, though, for NXT UK coming up right here. They did two days of taping spoilers. So that was day number one. Moving on to day number two, in a dark match, we had The Hunt, which was the team of Wild Boar and Primate defeating Drilla Maloney and Man Like Dreiss. When I presume the camera, you know, came back on, we had Amir Jordan defeating Tyson T-Bone, Imperium defeating Oliver Carter and Ashton Smith, Valkyrie defeating Nina Samuels, Noam Dar defeating A-Kid, NXT Cruiserweight Championship match, Jordan Devlin defeated Travis Banks to retain the title. That was probably a fantastic match. NXT UK Champion Walter defeated Ridge Holland. Tony Storm defeated Isla Dawn. Finn Balor defeated Kenny Williams. Kaylee Ray and Ginny defeated Piper Nevin and Danny Luna. Zaya Brookside defeated Amelie. And there was a number one contenders battle royal. Dragunov won the battle royal to earn a shot at the NXT UK Championship. So we got Dragunov versus Walter, which we could see that coming for a while. They've been building that, and that's for sure, in my opinion, that's the match to do next for the title. So it looks like we could be getting Dragunov versus Walter and Finn Balor versus Tyler Bate, and basically a number one contender match where, you know, I think hopefully Balor wins if that's the case, because, you know, we've seen Bate get his chance, although I'll never have a problem with Tyler Bate wrestling anybody for a world championship whenever he wants. Like, that guy's one of the best performers in the world. He's so good. And so is Balor. And Balor just kind of hasn't had that chance yet on the NXT UK side. So that would be incredible, in my opinion. If we get to a point where, like, we have Bate versus Balor, which will be an incredible match, Dragunov versus Walter, which will be an incredible match, and then maybe that leads to Walter versus Finn Balor at some point for the title. Man, that's good stuff. Huge, huge, huge shout out to NXT UK, because based on everything that I just read during those spoilers, I am very, very, very interested in the brand. And that's very impressive. Very, very good stuff. Great writing, great storytelling. And on top of where we know it's going, because obviously we haven't seen these matches since, you know, these, of course, haven't happened yet on TV. Unless you happen to be there live, I guess, let us know here in the comments, or hit me up on Twitter at @FightTalk_. Let me know how these matches were if you were there live. But they have set this up to where I'm very interested in what's going on with NXT UK right now. And if the matches deliver, and I have no reason to believe that they wouldn't, you know what I mean? Like, NXT UK has consistently delivered on the big stage every single time. Their takeover shows have been phenomenal. So, great stuff from NXT UK. As far as Impact Wrestling is concerned, I'm going to give you the results for the latest TV show, and then we got TV taping spoilers to get to. And they were actually from Atlanta, Georgia for those spoilers. So, a little bit to talk about that. I'm not sure if the stuff, you know, I'll get into it when we get there. So, as far as the TV show went, it started off with TJP and Falaba defeating the North by pinfall. The finish comes where Boz caught between forearms in between both members of the North, and TJP pins Ethan Page out of nowhere for the pin. Gets the 1-2-3. Moose defeats PD Williams by pinfall with the spear. AC Romero defeats Joey Ryan by pinfall, gets the win with the running elbow drop, I should say. After that, Havoc was defeated by Su Yong. So Su Yong over Havoc by referee stoppage. The match ends when Su Yong locks on the Mandible Claw, and the referee has to stop the match. The Deaners defeat the team of Johnny Swinger and Glenn Gilberti, and yes, that is the same Johnny Swinger from ECW back in the day, and Glenn Gilberti, of course, the former Disco Inferno. The finish comes when Jake hits a spear, and by the way, Jake is, Cousin Jake, is also known as Jake Something, somebody who was a part of the Glory Pro show that I was just talking about, as my recommended show this week. He's a part of that as well. Jake hits a spear in the ropes before clotheslining Glenn Gilberti. And Cody hits Johnny Swinger with a DDT as Glenn and Jake spill to the outside. So it looks like the finish comes by DDT for the Deaners. There is a World Championship match in the main event. Tessa Blanchard retains the Impact World title by defeating Taya Valkyrie. The finish comes when Tessa hits the Buzzsaw DDT for the 1-2-3. Those of you who have been listening to this show, and of course we knew all these things were going to happen because we do the spoilers, and I have the future spoilers for you coming up next. But, you know, everyone knows I wasn't hot on the idea of Taya Valkyrie getting a title shot against Tessa Blanchard. If you want all my reasons for that, you know, check out previous episodes of The Weekender. I talk in detail about the reasons that I don't think Taya Valkyrie versus Tessa Blanchard for the Impact World title should have taken place. But now that that's hopefully behind us, and we'll find out based on these taping spoilers, hopefully Tessa starts wrestling and, or defending her Impact World Championship against, in my opinion, more worthy opponents. So that's a great segue into more spoilers. So spoiler alert, these are Impact Wrestling TV spoilers. After this, the show is over. So if you don't want to hear these, cut it off now. If you do want to hear these, they're coming in 1, 2, 3. Don't know why I counted up. 3, 2, 1. All right, here we go. These are courtesy of Fightful.com. And the credit goes to Ben Turpin for getting Fightful these results. Show starts off with Shogun Jackson Stone, that's a mouthful, defeating Tyler Turva in a gut check match. Kira Hogan defeats Rosemary. Josh Alexander defeats Eddie Edwards. Afterwards, the North come out and beat up Eddie, and then Tessa makes the save. Kylie Rae defeats Cassandra Golden. Willie Mack defeats Reno Scum in a handicap match. Ace Austin attacked Willie Mack after the match. Ooh, that could be a great match. Ace Austin versus Willie Mack for the X Division title. I am all about that. Sami Callihan defeated Tommy Dreamer in a no DQ match that featured interference from Rhino and OVE. Cody Deaner defeats Joey Ryan. Moose defeats Fala Ba. Tessa Blanchard defeats Ethan Page. Eddie Edwards and Michael Elgin get involved after the win. For those of you who may not know, they are building towards a three-way match for the World Championship with the champion Tessa Blanchard against Michael Elgin and Eddie Edwards, so it would make sense that they got involved in this. Hernandez defeated Chase Stevens. Suicide and Manic defeated Johnny Swinger and Kid Cash. Wow, so now Kid Cash is showing up in Impact Wrestling again. I loved Kid Cash back in the day, and I've actually talked to him personally, and he's always been a cool guy to me, but why are we including more old ECW guys on a roster full of, just incredible young talent? And of course, you know, Kid Cash had a great run in ECW. He had a forgettable run, but it was because it was during WCW's dying days, when, you know, he worked for them very shortly, and then, of course, read WCW, and then, of course, went on to the WWE for a short run there as well. But, yeah, not a big fan of more of these guys that were, you know, really great in, like, the late 90s, early 2000s, kind of being a part of this. And I really hate the fact that Suicide and Manic are a team now, because that just doesn't make any sense, and I'm assuming it's going to lead to, like, some sort of unmasking of these guys or something. I don't know, and I really don't care, to be honest. Up next, Scott Steiner and Petey Williams come out to announce a four-way tag team match for the TNA pay-per-view. And lastly, Madman Fulton versus Rhino ends in a no contest because the TNA veterans invade the ringside, and then it just a big pull-apart brawl to end the show. Now, this show happened in Atlanta, Georgia, which is where I live, and I want to talk about the Scott Steiner situation real quick, because for those of you who don't know, Scott Steiner collapsed during the tapings and was rushed to a hospital, and he is getting work done on his heart, and, you know, he is alive as of now, and, you know, it looks like he's going to be all right, but, you know, having to get surgery done on your heart is never a thing that anyone ever wants to have to do, obviously, and it is very scary and risky, you know. So our thoughts are with Scott Steiner and his loved ones during this time, and I'm going to pull back the curtain for you all as one last kind of Easter egg before the show ends, because I really appreciate all of you listening to this, because, like I've said, long trip, long week. I got off a flight last night, woke up this morning, and was just, you know, woke up really just this afternoon, and I'm still just so out of it and snapping back into reality. So I appreciate y'all bearing with me here today. And so I'm going to give y'all a little bit more of a reward this week and pull back the curtain a little bit more. So my friend Zoe Walker, who is a girl who's wrestling, training to become a wrestler in the Atlanta, Georgia area, she actually got a tryout during these tapings to do some backstage interviews and stuff like that. And to help her prepare for her tryout, she actually came over to my place here, and we talked about what was going on in TNA. We brushed up with, you know, all the storylines, all that stuff, because, you know, of course, me doing the weekend or every weekend, I keep up with all the results for Impact. So I tried to help her out there, and, you know, we practiced some stuff, and she went, and she was invited back to do some more stuff. So it's something where I'm very, very happy for her. And she told me during this taping about what was happening with Scott Steiner. I was in Vegas at a casino, hanging out with my guys from MMA on Point, and my phone was just blowing up about the Scott Steiner thing. And a lot of it was Zoe telling me, like, man, Steiner was like cutting a promo and just collapsed, and we think he had a heart attack, and people on the scene were saying like he was dead and then was basically like revived by the EMTs and brought to the hospital. And so shout out to Zoe for keeping me informed on what was going on in the situation since she was there on site. And also shout out to Zoe and job well done for, you know, getting this opportunity, and hopefully I hope to see her do big things with it, because she's a great person, and she loves wrestling, and it's a really great thing to see somebody work hard and, you know, pursue their goals. So, you know, all that being said, thoughts to Scott Steiner, and I hope that he pulls through and makes a full recovery. And I even would like to see him back to the ring if it's possible. You know, I've always been a Scott Steiner fan, and, you know, it's just scary when stuff like this happens to people. So, you know, thoughts once again with Scott Steiner and his family. So that's going to do it for this episode of the Fightful Select Weekender podcast. I've been Steven Jensen. Hope you all enjoyed. If you want to give me a follow, do that over on Twitter at FightTalk_. That's FIGHTTALK_. Until next weekend, enjoy some professional wrestling.